Well, to be honest, no one is entirely sure. It's called glyphosate. That is the main chemical ingredient. That's more commonly known to American gardeners as Roundup. It's a common backyard weed killer, the best sold, most effective weed killer on the market. And it's made by Monsanto, a U.S. biotech company. But in Colombia, it's mixed with some other products. And that's what isn't entirely clear, is what are the other substances that are mixed in with it, and also what kind of concentration the glyphosate is being used and in the Colombian mix. The other ingredients that are added are known as surfactants. And these are soapy additives that are added to the weed killer to make it stick better to the leaf and make it more effective in penetrating the plant.
Now, has this glyphosate been tested in tropical areas, and with what results?
No. While glyphosate is widely used in the United States, that obviously came after it was properly tested. It has not been tested for the way in which it is being applied in Colombia from the air, in aerial spraying on a massive scale, something which Roundup isn't used in that fashion in the United States. And that is the reason why it is causing concern, particularly in some of these areas where it's being used in Colombia, which are tropical, subtropical regions of rainforest or jungle. And in actual fact, the makers of Roundup, Monsanto, they admitted to me that they had no idea and had never tested the product themselves in this fashion. And noted that on the bottles of Roundup, it specifically says, do not add surfactants. The reason for that, I believe, is that just as a surfactant makes the herbicide more effective in penetrating the leaf of a plant, it can also have the same effect on skin. It may well be that while glyphosate does not cause skin irritation, when it's mixed with a surfactant, it does.
Well, tell me, you've been there where this material has been used on coca crops. What does an area look like that's been sprayed?
Brown. They've been using it for almost a decade. And over the years, they've improved its effectiveness by playing around with the concentration and the mix and the surfactants. So what they have now is a very effective product. When it is sprayed over the target area, it will kill everything it touches in terms of plant life.
You know, what happens to the farmer that wants to try to replant a coca in that spot that's been sprayed?
Oh, he can replant. He can forget about the plants that he's cultivating. He'll have to dig them up and replant. And it'll take a few months for the soil to clean itself of the chemical spray substance. But he can be up and producing again, if he so wishes, within 9 months or so.
Now, Roundup, glyphosate, is used pretty close to the ground in the United States. What happens when this is sprayed from aircraft?
Well, again, that hasn't been studied properly. In ideal conditions, i.e. no wind or very light wind on a clear day, the mist of tiny droplets will go straight down and land on the target. Obviously, those conditions are very rarely encountered, and when there's any kind of wind in the area, the spray is subject to drift. Now, there's all kinds of computerized mechanisms that are carried on board the spray planes to take into account the prevailing weather conditions. And so the officials who run the program claim that it's highly accurate and very scientific, and every step is taken to ensure that the area targeted is the area hit. I didn't realize this at first, but it became increasingly obvious to me, until it was acutely obvious, that while I had spent time visiting these areas, they had not. So the officials administering the program are not familiar with the lie of the land, which I think is a tremendous problem. It's utterly excusable, if you like, from their point of view. I wouldn't expect a United States government official to go walking around in Putumayo. But it does beg questions about whether the government has sufficient knowledge, on-the-ground knowledge, of the area it's dealing with. Because what officials are forced to use and rely upon are their satellite imagery and, you know, overflying the area in small planes or helicopters.
I'm sure that the people doing this are just going after coca, but at the end of the day, I suppose mistakes do happen. An annihilated field of coca is one thing, but a destroyed plot of corn is quite another. How common is it for a law-abiding farmer's land to be hit?
Well, in my experience visiting some of these areas, it's quite common. The Colombian government and the United States government would argue that, on the contrary, it's not very common and that it receives very few complaints. I think, say that these are very remote rural areas, and so the idea of somebody actually picking up the telephone or going round to the local office of the government to complain is somewhat far-fetched. The mechanisms for complaining are not easy, especially due to the rural, remote nature of these areas. But I have spoken to farmers, and I've seen from my own eyes where mistakes have been made. I interviewed a man who was running actually an internationally funded alternative agriculture program producing hearts of palm. And his small plot had been completely wiped out. We also interviewed an organic coffee grower in the region of Cauca. His product had been wiped out, and there was no coca or opium poppies in those two areas. There was, in the first case of the Heart of Palm project, there was coca nearby, and it seemed to me pretty obvious there that an accident had happened and there was a drift that had occurred. In the other case of the organic coffee grower, there didn't appear to be any coca very near him at all. I think a sort of an even bigger mistake had perhaps been made in his case. You know, unless he's lying, and you can never be sure about these things, both those cases were pretty clear-cut as far as I was concerned.
Now, I know that there have been health complaints from people who've been hit by the spraying. Now, what effect do they say the chemicals have on them?
Skin rashes, pink eye, diarrhea, vomiting, intestinal complaints. I would say the most common would be the skin rashes. Again, the health studies are very superficial. The United States has sent teams of doctors to look at some of these cases. Again, problem being that these are remote rural areas, many people don't actually go to the local clinic or the hospital for treatment because it's too far away. And most of these illnesses are not long-lasting. They go away. The skin rashes, for instance, disappear in 3 or 4 days. Likewise, the vomiting. What people are concerned about is the possible, and I emphasize possible, long-term health effects of being exposed to this kind of spraying. There's, I know, concern in the region we visited, Cauca, that there's been a high incidence of children born with leukemia. It's possibly unrelated or probably unrelated to the glyphosate, but it should be looked at. And that's the main focus, I think, of some of the activists who are involved in this issue, is that they feel that this kind of massive spraying shouldn't take place until really serious environmental and health impact studies are conducted. That is what would happen if this were being done in the United States. This kind of spraying would be impossible under U.S. legislation if it was being conducted in the United States. Because it's Colombia, the United States doesn't have to worry about its own legislation. That's up to the Colombian government. But obviously, you know, we all know that the Colombian government is under a good deal of pressure from the United States to adopt these programs and to make them work, and the Colombian government isn't raising issues about impact studies.
Now, David, as I understand it, in September of last year, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency here in the States did say there is some reason for concern about the aerial spraying in Colombia. I'm just wondering, what effect did their report have on the spraying program?
Well, it was a very carefully worded report, and depending who you are, you could pick from that report arguments to support your case. the State Department did just that in presenting the report, highlighting the fact that the EPA report said that glyphosate was not toxic. But on the other hand, the report included language that did raise serious concerns about the manner in which this spray program was being implemented, particularly issues such as the fact that it has never been tested in these kinds of tropical climates, and the proximity to water and animal life, and obviously human life in the area. The EPA did say that it didn't think it posed a risk to human life. Perhaps the most important issue that the EPA raised was that this was not a program that it has monitored in any way. The EPA's jurisdiction is for the environment in the United States. It has no say in programs operated by the United States government abroad. And in fact, the EPA privately was very concerned that the State Department had been suggesting to the public that the program was approved by the EPA, which was absolutely untrue.
So, David, how effective has this spraying been at dealing with the reason that they're doing the spraying, the coca problem?
Well, I suppose that's really the $64 million question. And to be fair, I think probably one should say that it's too early to tell. While spraying has been going on in Colombia for nearly a decade, it has not been at this level of intensity for very long. That only really has been happening in the last 3 years. We had a change of government in Colombia, remember, last year, and the new government has been much more willing to see larger and larger amounts of its land sprayed. So this last year, there was a dramatic increase in the area sprayed, more than 320,000 acres. That was actually more than the area that's being cultivated for drug use, believe it or not. And if that sounds strange, remember that areas have to be sprayed more than once. And the latest figures do appear to indicate, for the first time, a significant drop in coca cultivation, down this last year from 358,000 acres being cultivated to around 250,000 acres. That's a drop of 29.5%, according to the United Nations drug program, which monitors the spraying through the use of satellite imagery. Again, there are question marks about the accuracy. The U.S. government's own satellite imagery shows results that are less encouraging than the United Nations. Also last year, we had a significant drop in coca production, i.e. the finished product, down from 617 tons in 2001 to 480 tons in 2002.
If you look at the figures that the government gives us about spraying in the coca areas in Colombia, it looks like it's working. What's your opinion?
While the figures do appear to show, for the first time, a significant 30% drop in coca production, there is concern that the satellite imagery that is used to estimate, and it really is an estimate, how much coca is being grown, doesn't have a complete picture. While large areas of the country are covered by the satellite imagery, there are areas that are not, and the drug traffickers are pretty canny. And when areas are being hit, they will move to new areas. It's known as the balloon effect. Imagine you're holding a balloon and you squeeze it. Well, you'll see it bulge out in another part. That's what happens in the cocaine trade. If the government targets one part of the balloon, it's going to bulge out in another. The drug traffickers basically move their operations elsewhere. And so now we are seeing production moving away from the areas that are being intensively targeted in the south of Colombia, like Putumayo, to new areas like, for instance, Arauca in the northeast of the country. There, in contrast to the figures for a drop in production in the south, production has grown dramatically. And in fact, production in Arauca is up over 100%, and the Colombian military fear that it may even be bigger than that. this year, the U.S. government has set a new record goal for fumigation, aerial spraying, aerial eradication of almost 500,000 acres. And if they achieve that, it will be very, I mean, that's nearly double what they've been able to do in the past. If they achieve that, it'll be very interesting to look at the statistics in a year's time and see how effective it's been.
David Adams is the Latin America correspondent for the St. Petersburg Times. Thanks for taking this time, David.
Pleasure.